Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Digital technology makes it easy for photojournalists to alter and change photographs. In a 2006 image distributed by Reuters, a photographer copied and darkened smoke to exaggerate bombing damage in Beirut. During the early days of the Iraq invasion, the Los Angeles Times published a photo that was a composite of two photographs taken seconds apart to improve composition. But faking and staging photos is nothing new. In 1936, New Deal Farm Security Administration photographer Arthur Rothstein moved and photographed a bleached steer skull at several locations in South Dakota. It was designed to convey devastation during severe drought. Opponents of President Roosevelt's New Deal objected to the staged photo. Rothstein's photo of what critics called the perambulating skull is included in a new exhibit at the Bronx Documentary Center, Altered Images, 150 Years of Posed and Manipulated Documentary Photography. The exhibit is designed to prompt discussion about what is and is not allowable in photojournalism and documentary photography. Joining us now to discuss the Rothstein photo and its background is retired South Dakota State University history professor John Miller. And John, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Glad to be here, Carl.
Also with us on the line is John Locke. He's president of the Midwest History Association. He also serves as counsel and senior advisor to U.S. Senator John Thune. And John, welcome back to the program, too.
Thanks, Carl. Good to be on with you, John. Glad to be here.
Well, John Miller, maybe we'll start with you. For those people who haven't seen this photo, how would you describe it?
Well, there's actually two or three photos, which is why it came to knowledge in the first place. As Arthur Rothstein was sent out by the Farm Security Administration, one of the New Deal agencies, to document drought conditions around the country, he came to Pennington County, South Dakota, and he had been looking for some skeletons of dead animals to show and depict and to document the devastation of the drought conditions, and also behind that they were trying to show that the drought conditions were in part at least caused by poor agricultural practices. So when he came across this skull in Pennington County, he of course took a picture of it, but then he took it from different angles. You could see the baked ground, and at one point he thought, well, if I could move this skull over a few feet, I think it was moved no more than 10 feet, and take it from another angle, you could see in the distance the horizon and some things in the background, and it was the same skull, it was just in a slightly different location and from a different angle, and that's what all the controversy arose over.
But, John Locke, how quickly was it discovered that Arthur Rothstein had moved the skull around, and that was essentially a staged photo?
Well, it's my understanding it happened very quickly. Once the photo migrated out of the offices of the Farm Security Administration and onto the Associated Press wire, it went out to all these newspapers in Dakota, in South Dakota and North Dakota, because they were running a story about President Roosevelt visiting the Dakotas in either July or August of 1936 as part of his reelection campaign. And they wanted to put the photograph out there to show you know, how bad the drought was and talk about what Roosevelt was doing to address the drought. But the editors, the first editors who noticed that the photograph had been doctored were at the Fargo Forum in North Dakota, and they did a big splashy front page story about this photograph being doctored, and then other newspapers kind of piled on. But, you know, there's a lot of problems with the photograph. As John mentioned, it was moved around several times, and we now know after many, many years that the photographer, Arthur Rothstein, was given very specific instructions by Roy Stryker back at the FSA to go out and find very striking images that make the drought look bad. And he was given a little instruction card, and that's what he did. And, you know, I also think it's interesting that the photograph was taken, you know, in or near the Badlands, which you can find you know, scorched earth and sandy earth and drought-like conditions any time. So, and this is one of the things the Fargo newspaper keyed on, was that, you know, this is the kind of image that's very common in the Dakotas. Now, other thing I think we should mention here, and John is a real expert on this, but this took place in the context of a broader controversy over what were called propaganda tactics by the New Deal, and the most and one of the more colorful examples of this was this film put out by the FSA called The Plow That Broke the Plains. And this was designed to make the point that farmers in South Dakota weren't very good at preserving the soil, etc. Well, this set off a big controversy over how farmers in South Dakota were being portrayed. And the people involved in that film were also heavily involved in the photography program at the FSA. And one of the reasons I became very interested in this whole issue is because John Miller wrote an article about how controversial that film was in South Dakota during the 1930s. And I think it became kind of a cause for Carl Mundt and made him semi-famous early in his political career.
Yeah, John Miller, that film, The Plow That Broke the Plains, South Dakota farmers weren't too happy then about the way they were portrayed.
Well, yeah, and of course, it wasn't the farmers you were hearing from. It was from two other people. It was from newspaper editors who, you know, how many of them were Republican? 90%. The thing that got this Arthur Rothstein cattle skull thing in the news, and pretty soon the New York Herald Tribune and other papers were picking it up, was that the Fargo Forum was a Republican paper. And they rightly, you know, were looking for misuse of information by the administration, but what they would have called propaganda, the administration would have just called information. And compared to what you were talking about at the beginning of the program, where photos are photoshopped now, images are cropped out, things are changed, and, you know, new faces and images are put on other bodies. This was a relatively simple kind of technology. The technology was you walk over, you pick the skull up, you move it over a few feet, and then you take the photograph from a different angle. So to call that doctoring, it was doctoring in a sense, but you can already see the language being used in this interview. It's not just words describing things, it's words that have inherent emotional connotations associated with it. It's what, you know, they would call today in Washington spin.
Now, John Miller, for a little background, the Farm Security Administration, they had this photography unit that went out and documented these images, created these images, and Arthur Rothstein was just one of a number of today very famous photographers.
Yeah, we're talking Walker Evans, Dorothea Lange, Russell Lee, and others, almost all of them, Ben Shawn, almost all of them are famous. And actually the name of the organization changed in part because of this. It was called the Resettlement Administration, as established in 1935 when the photography unit was set up. And part of the effort was to resettle farmers off of submarginal land, as they called it, and put them on better land. But again, this was seen as New Deal social engineering by people who opposed it. And so part of the political fallout of all this was that Rexford Tugwell, who was the head of this operation, the Red Professor, as they called him, he was a self-proclaimed socialist, would leave the administration after 1936, and they changed the name of the organization, absorbing the Resettlement Administration into the Department of Agriculture and calling it by the more innocuous name, the FSA, the Farm Security Administration, and that's what we know today as the FSA Photography Project from 1935 to 1943. So there are all kinds of politics involved in the way in which this was talked about, in the kind of language that was used, and even in the administrative apparatus that was set up in Washington to administer these programs. And also, the other thing was the FSA photography project was almost put out of business as a result of this photography thing. And as John pointed out a minute ago, Carl Muntz made Putting the Plow That Broke the Plains, that movie, out of business. His first, it was his first big speech in Congress, and it was at the top of the list of 20 reasons why he should be reelected in 1940. And amazingly, he was successful in putting The Plow That Broke the Plains, the first great documentary movie ever put out by a government, out of circulation for 20 years.
I might add, too, yes, on the sequence here, Carl, that I think, if I remember correctly, The Plow That Broke the Plains, the film was shown at the White House early in 1936, and President Roosevelt was there and watched it, and Roy Stryker was there, who was head of the photography section, and I think maybe Rexford Tugwell was still there at that time.
Oh, yeah,
that
was
before he had been exiled from the administration. And he was very interested in the film. He was very engaged in this. Mm-hmm. And this was not something that was taking place in some distant bureaucracy, you know, that he wasn't paying attention to. He was very interested in this sort of topic. And he had spent a lot of time on rural life issues and improving rural life when he was governor of New York. So, I mean, it's not like today where, you know, a lot of things happen under the radar screen. The president doesn't really know about it. So he was very interested in this, and I think because he was so interested in it, that was one of the reasons Roy Stryker sent Arthur Rothstein out to South Dakota, is to get some photographs and, you know, other images that they could use to talk about their farm programs. Another thing I was going to mention, just so people are familiar with these photographs, one of the probably the most famous photographer in this group was Dorothea Lange, and probably the most reproduced photograph historically in the United States is this photograph called Migrant Mother. And this is a photograph of a Oklahoma Okie migrant in California named Florence Thompson, and she is sitting there in kind of a makeshift shack with her children, and it is meant to convey the desperate conditions of the New Deal. And it's a very famous photograph. I'm sure if people see it or they pull it up on Google, they'll instantly remember it. But this photograph, too, which I didn't realize until a few years ago when I was reviewing a new biography of Dorothea Lange, this photograph was, I guess, to use the right word, manipulated by Dorothea Lange. And she asked Florence Thompson to move around and asked her children to move around and turn their heads and do various things to make the photograph more impressive or to have a bigger impact on people. And, you know, Florence Thompson, which I didn't know until I read this biography, was furious about this because she was told by Dorothea Lange this photograph would never be used. It's just for government archiving and government research. And then it ends up being the most famous picture in American history, constantly reproduced. And Florence Thompson fought until the 1970s to get some sort of compensation for Dorothea Lange using this photograph, which she said she wouldn't use. So this is all part, this South Dakota piece is very interesting, but it's part of a bigger controversy over these photographs.
In looking at these photographs, as you mentioned, some of the most famous images that we have of the Great Depression, I'm wondering if these photographers like Arthur Rothstein and Dorothea Lange, if they were more interested in capturing an aesthetically pleasing image, creating art rather than journalism. John Miller?
They certainly were artists in what they were doing, but they were documentary photographers too. They were trying to convey a truth, an essential truth, and just like, you know, writers, sometimes, you know, we pick and choose certain facts and neglect others in order to convey a greater truth. They were doing it. I think this is a wonderful kind of question to ask and debate to have, because, you know, politics is all about staging. It's all about putting your best face forward. Nobody was better at this, than Ronald Reagan, but every single president, every single politician. You know, if you think that the photographs you get on the front page of the Argus Leader or anywhere else are simply taken by a photographer who happens by and happens to snap a picture at that time, think again. You know, these are photographs which are often, you know, I would guess that anybody who has seen their photograph in a paper has often been said, well, let's do that again, you know, let's make that second entrance. I mean, John, you know this as well as anybody in politics, that photographs are not simply passive takings of reality out there. We're constantly staging things, and the question is, how far can you go, and at what point does it become fraudulent?
I think the context for this discussion is this very interesting exhibition that just opened at the Bronx Documentary Center, put together by Michael Camber, in which he's trying to, I guess expose is the right word, some of these fraudulent photographs that we're, a lot of us are familiar with. And the point he makes in his New York Times interview about this is that there's so much reality out there that doesn't have to be manipulated or doctored. Just take the pictures and be honest about it, and, you know, don't go for you know, the picture that's going to win you a prize or make you famous or whatever. And he talks about some of these war photographers from Iraq and Afghanistan who, you know, lost their lives trying to capture reality and give people a real sense of what's going on back at home. And so he's kind of angry at some of these photographers who decide to doctor photographs. And I think that's a good point. I mean, especially in the case of the Farm Security Administration, when Roy Stryker and Rexford Tugwell would testify to Congress, they swore that these photographs were not doctored, they're meant to convey reality, there's nothing manipulated about them. But then later on we find out that they were staged. And that's where the controversy comes in, and that's why these photographs lose their power when people hear that.
Well, John Miller, we're just about out of time, and I'm wondering for you as a historian, given the, you know, how famous these photos by Dorothea Lange and Arthur Rothstein, these photos from the Farm Security Administration, that today, 70, 80 years later, what do these photos staged, so many of them staged as we know now, what does that do for our perceptions of what was actually happening during the Great Depression?
Well, first of all, I think it has to be remembered that the Farm Security Administration took approximately 325 images in South Dakota, and if, you know, one or two of them were a result of moving a skull 10 feet around and taking it from a different angle, how many of them were simply straight shots that were taken from an angle that the photographer found? And I think John is absolutely right that photographers need, you know, moving that, it was still the same skull, but he shouldn't have moved it. He should have just took it where it was. It reminded me of the golf tournament the other day where a guy was putting and the ball moved three different times before they finally called off. You need to take things straight, but there are a lot of other ways to manipulate an image than to move things around, and it invites discussion about what's allowable. Can you tell a person, I didn't quite get that this time, would you please go back down the hall, come around the corner, and let me take a picture again? Is that allowable? I would invite us to have a discussion about those kinds of things.
Well, John Miller, John Locke, we'll have to end that right there. And just quickly, John Miller, I know that we'll just mention that you're working on another project right now, looking for some World War II veterans from South Dakota.
Exactly. You know, right down, this is just coincidental, but, you know, a few years after, and by the way, the Farm Security Administration photography project was put out of business in 1943. Basically, it was a political thing because, you know, The Republicans had enough power at that time to put it out of business, partly because they had been spinning them a little too hard. But I am going to be going out interviewing World War II veterans in South Dakota for the Center for Western Studies and putting them in their archives. So if there's some World War II veterans, or if you know a World War II veteran who might like to talk to me, you might give me a call at 692-7680 or email me at john.miller@sdstate.edu, and I'll put you on a list, and maybe we can get a couple dozen of these interviews done in the next few months, and those will be documentaries in the form of words on the printed page.
All right. Well, John Miller, again, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday. Always interesting to discuss South Dakota history. And John Locke, thanks for your time as well.
Thanks, Carl.